I kind of like to watch programs about policemen and firemen and paramedics. In fact, the wife and I were just watching emergency, was it emergency 911, something like that. And I'm just amazed at the acts of courage that are performed every day. What really gets me, though, is cases where strangers intervene and save lives. In the news recently, we heard about a fellow named Justin Gavin, who was 18 years old. He was on a walk to the local Walgreens, and he first realized that there was a car on fire. The driver honked their horns at him and got out of their cars and notified the mother driving the burning vehicle that it was in flames. Gavin said, I'm yelling for the car to stop. Your car's on fire. Your car's on fire. But the mother couldn't stop. That's when Gavin says he didn't have time to think, and he fell into action. He chased down the burning car to help the family escape from it. He says, I just felt like if I was in that situation, I would want somebody to help me out. I guess my instincts took over. When Gavin finally reached this vehicle, which you see there on the screen, it had finally come to a stop. He opened the car door, helped the mother out of the driver's seat. As the flames grew larger, he pulled the three children in the back seat to safety. A 4-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 1-year-old. The 1-year-old, by the way, was at the car seat. You know, people who are rescued from danger by such people as this often are interviewed after the fact and express such heartfelt gratitude. That indeed was the case with this. But just for a moment, I want us to use our imagination and picture a situation that could happen, very likely. Suppose one day as you come home from work, you notice as you pull into the driveway that your house is on fire. Suddenly, you hear the screams of your family coming from within the house. What would you do? What would you do? Well, chances are you would run into the house and try to rescue everybody that you could. But think about this. What if it was like this situation we just read about a moment ago? What about that situation? An unknown person. Would you pull a person out of a burning car or a burning house? Well, I think the first question needs to be considered, are you afraid of fire? Well, under normal circumstances, I think most people are, especially since it's so unpredictable. In a time of emergency, however, people often forget their fears. Like one 911 operator said, in an emergency situation, they start running on adrenaline, and they're like super person, man or woman. But you know, the funny thing is, the small word fire circulated through a crowd or a building usually causes panic and fear. People are known to jump out windows, even from a high level, trample others underfoot. Why? To escape the fire. Now, what's all this? What are we saying all this for? Well, in the spiritual realm, it's possible for men to be in fire. Read me, if you will, from Jude. That's the book of Jude, verse 22 and 23. On some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now, is Jude talking about rescuing people from a burning automobile or something? No, he's not talking about that. He's not talking about that. He's talking about people who are living under the power and dominion of sin. They were to be pulled out of the fire like a hot branding iron. That's what it says. The fact of the matter is, millions are standing in the fires of condemnation as we speak. As Christians, we have the responsibility of pulling men out of the fire before they're consumed. In our lesson this afternoon, we want to study some facts about pulling men out of the fire. Now, the first thing that comes to mind is, why must we pull men out of the fire now? Well, the answer, in real simple terms, is because we're commanded to do so. The Great Commission charges us to go into a world of flame in Mark 15 and 16. God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He believes is baptized will be saved, but he does not believe will be condemned. And there's the fire. There's the fire. Again, notice Jude 23. Jude seems to include Christians in this as well. But why? Well, because it is a cruel and criminal thing not to pull men out of the fire. Now, in the physical sense, we can understand this, but how much more in the spiritual sense? The soul is of the grandest value in the world. In Mark chapter 8, verse 36, Mark records the words of Jesus, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whosoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels." Now, I think most of us would pull a stake out of the fire before it burned. At least some of us would. I know one person that, at least he used to like them that way. We used to always tease that Evan didn't order a steak, he ordered a burnt offering. But anyway, but we would do that. But let's get serious. How about men? How about men? But why would we do this? Well, part of it is because of the deadliness of the fire. It's fast and it must be dealt with rapidly. It's unpredictable. It knows no boundaries. It knows no limits. We must not, if possible, let sinners or backslidden brethren die in their sins. Jesus said in John chapter 8, begin verse 21, "I am going away and you will seek me and die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come." The Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. And he said to them, "You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you, you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. The fire rages, and we must move quickly. But why? Well, because if we don't do it, who will? Oh, we say, but yeah, God has a plan, and he can get those men out of the fire, but he's got other ways of doing it. Well, here's the facts. God has not commissioned angels to do it. And I'm pretty sure that the devil won't do it. And the atheist or agnostic or secular humanist won't do it either. So what does that leave? Well, it leaves us. We must do it. We are saved to save others. In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus told the disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. But again, why? Well, if we don't do it now, after we die, it'll be too late. The wise man, writing under the pseudonym of the preacher, says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, beginning with verse 5, the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also, their love, their hatred, their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. Now, there's a whole lot involved in that that we could take off and talk about, but not in this lesson. We'll do it again in some other lesson. But if we don't do it, we can't do anything after we die. But one of the main reasons, and I think one that really deserves consideration, is why we should pull men out of the fire is because we have been pulled out of the fire. We know firsthand how wonderful it is to be delivered from the fire. Could we do less than to pull others out of the fire by the power of the gospel? Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9, beginning verse 19, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. And to those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. And to those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Somebody cared enough to snatch you out of the fire, snatch me out of the fire. Why would we not want to do that for someone else? But there's one problem. And that problem is there's some who don't want to get out of the fire. Wow. In the physical sense, it's hard for me to imagine that anybody would be like this. Any sane person would want to get out of a fire. In fact, people have done some pretty extreme things to escape the dangers of fire. But in the spiritual sense, there are some who don't want to be snatched out of the fire because they don't know that they're in the fire. They do not consider their deeds as being bad or evil deeds. Even backslidden Christians are ignorant of this. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, Peter talks about such, and he says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning." Now, what is he saying here? He's saying, well, the person who is backslidden or who goes back into the world is going to face a worse punishment than he would have in the beginning, because he has known the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's understood the escape that he had from the pollutions of the world, and now he wants to go back and get entangled in them again. But I think one of the reasons that a lot of them don't want to get out of the fire is they have rejected the truth about judgment. Now, let's face it. If you have become convinced that there is a time of accountability and that it is who knows when, and you're going to have to give an account of your deeds in this life, you're going to be pretty fearful of that accounting if you realize your deeds aren't that good and you haven't done much about it. So the simple thing to do is just figure out a way around it. And that would be, there is no hell. Or hell is in this life. Some have come to believe that. But some think they can get out of the fire by themselves. They think that, oh yeah, it's, you know, there's a fire in a, and I realize that I'm deep in it, and I'll just figure out some way to do it. I'll get out of myself. No. Well, what have they done? Well, they have failed to realize that the only power that is available to help them escape this fiery torment of sin is available to us in the gospel and not in man. No matter how smart people think they are, they can't figure it out. Romans 1 and 16, the power of God unto salvation is what? It's the gospel. It's the gospel. Man cannot save himself. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 9, speaking of God now. God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. But then there's always those who say, well, I figure there is a judgment, and I'm not doing anything right now to get ready for it. But you know what? I have plenty of time. I have plenty of time. I'll get out of the fire whenever I get ready to. You know what? Procrastination is deadly. You know, I was thinking of some examples of this. In the wildfires we had, there were people who stayed in their homes or with their property thinking, well, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stand against this fire. I'm going to protect my home. And they burned up in it. If I remember correctly, up in Paradise, there were 60-some people that died. And these are people who knew the fire was coming. But they died. Why? Well, they didn't have plenty of time. And tomorrow may never come. I want you to look with me, if you will, at James chapter 4. It's a passage we've looked at often, but I want you to think about it in light of what we're saying. James 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city. Spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. You can't procrastinate. Now, you want to know something else? I got something to say about how to pull men out of the fire. Yeah, how to pull men out of the fire. And you know what one of the first things is? You pull them out with love and compassion in your heart. There's no place for anger. There's no place for harshness. We must be Christ-like. Again, 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 8, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. There's never an excuse for using anger or harshness. We must be kind and compassionate, tender-hearted. But how do we pull men out of the fire? Well, another thing is with great urgency. Today is the day. Now is the time. Souls are being consumed every second. Jude says in Jude 23 that we need to save them with fear. Excuse me. Pulling them out of the fire. Hating even the garment defiled by flesh. Now, the word used here for reverential fear is phobos. Does that sound familiar? Phobia. Yeah, right. It refers to reverential fear or fear of God as a controlling motive of the life in matters spiritual and moral. It is not a mere fear of his power and righteous retribution, but a wholesome dread of displeasing him. It will inspire a constant carefulness in dealing with others in his fear. Peter expresses it well in 1 Peter 1:17. He says, if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's works, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your sojourning here in fear. Why would I do this? Because he holds our eternal destiny in his hands. And am I fearful of displeasing him in some way? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we must also impress this urgency not only on ourselves, but the urgency on pleasing him on all those around us. Everybody needs to be impressed with the urgency of pleasing God. I'm afraid we go through life sometimes and we think more about what pleases us than we do what pleases God. And I worry about that. We need to be more concerned with what pleases God. And we let the things of this life just influence us far, far too much. But also, how to pull men out of the fire? With carefulness. In Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2, we find Paul saying here, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is the greatest rescue effort that the world has ever known. We are not just saving lives from burning cars. We are saving souls from a burning hell. But, you know, whenever those firemen come out to that burning car, they don't come out there with an empty truck and say, oh, I should have brought this with me, or I should have brought that. No, they bring every tool you can imagine. And so also, we have to use the proper tools and equipment. The Word of God provides us with that. Hebrews 4 and verse 12, read it carefully. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We have all the tools we need in God's Word. But we must use these wisely. We must use them with wisdom. Sometimes with tact. But always with determination. What determination? That we're going to save them from the fire. But you notice something that was set up here in Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. We've got to be careful that we don't get into the fire ourselves. We have to be cautious in rescuing people from the fire. How many times have we heard about people going back into a burning house to rescue someone and never coming out themselves? Too many times. But spiritually, we have to be aware of this also. We must not allow ourselves to be overcome by the world. Like firefighters, we must be trained to properly extricate people from fiery situations. We have to recognize Satan's traps. In 1 Peter 5 and 8, Peter has a description here of Satan and his working. He says, be sober and be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In 2 Corinthians 2:10 and verse 11. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take. This is the man who had committed sin, 1 Corinthians, and was called to repentance, and he had repented. But here he says, lest Satan should take advantage of us. Now listen, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We know how Satan works, and we've got to be on guard for them. But let me also suggest that when it comes to delivering people from the fire, that we must also do it with great courage and strength. Remember that God is working with us. He will make you more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. And remember that the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the immoral and the sorcerers and idolaters and liars have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Revelation 21 and verse 8. Now, the question is, are you in the fire? How does it feel? Does this describe you? Do you want to be pulled out of the fire? Now remember, you cannot get out by your own strength or by your own devices. Jesus came to pull you out of the fire. Will you, in faith, come to Jesus and obey his gospel? He's the author of eternal salvation to those who obey him. Hebrews 5 and verse 9. As a backslidden Christian, you need to repent. John says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, notice, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can be pulled out of the fire if we're unfaithful Christians too. But think about this. Are you busy pulling men out of the fire? Remember, somebody cared enough for you to pull you out of the fire. May God help us to move rapidly into the world aflame and rescue the perishing and amongst mankind. There's no guarantee how much time we have. Time is precious. We must do what we can and do it now.